Wrestle Radio Australia is a proud member of the FNX Network. You can find this show and many more at fnx.network. That's the new URL, fnx.network.
Hey everyone, I'm Todd Eastman, and every fortnight the Big Ballers and I bring you the Big Ballers Podcast, where we talk NBA news, trades, and anything else related to basketball. We're insightful.
Lance Stephenson, he's going to be an all-star this season.
Serious.
I've got a certain spot to fill, but Miller usually fills it with the D.
Sounds pretty fluent to me.
Nah, that's mean edited.
Professional.
Harrison Barnes. Dude, follow me again. There's no need to unfollow me. I'm sorry for whatever I did.
And most of all, welcoming to new fans.
Anyone that is not a basketball fan, that is all of a sudden a basketball fan looking for a team, this is what I say to you. We don't want you.
You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, fnx.network, or anywhere you can listen to podcasts. That's the Big Ballers Podcast. Like sitting next to a bunch of guys in the pub who think they know about ball.
This is Jay Hunter from OSW Review.
This is Brian Alvarez, and you are listening to Wrestle Radio Australia.
This is the voice of explosive pro wrestling, Mean Dean Olsen.
Hey, this is the king of the mountain, Jeff Jarrett.
This is Robbie Eagles.
This is the loosest in Australian wrestling, Adam Brooks.
This is 5 times the world heavyweight champion, the Scrap Daddy himself, Scrap Brand Adam Pearce, and you are locked in to Wrestle Radio Australia.
Hey, it's Killian English.
Here's where the action is. Here's where the action is.
Welcome to the show. My name is Josh Armour, and thank you as always for listening to Wrestle Radio Australia and checking us out, whether it's on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, or fnx.network. That's fnx.network, our great partners over there. Today, we've got two great guests for you. First up, there's going to be Iron J Benny Coles from New South Wales, and then Australian Wolverine Mason Childs from Queensland. Now, they're coming up in a moment, but first, just want to let all of our New South Wales listeners know about Blue Mountains Pro Wrestling's Iron Fest. Now, this is happening May 30th at the Blackheath Community Centre in Blackheath, New South Wales. Adults are $15, kids are $10. The kickoff will be at 7 p.m. and the main event will be Robbie Eagles versus Bishop Summers, who Bishop Summers was meant to face Robbie Eagles a couple of months back, but due to injury he had to pull out. Robbie had, from all reports, an awesome match with Mick Moretti, but held on to the title, so that means that Bishop Summers is going to get that crack at the World Heritage Championship. And if you want to hear from Robbie Eagles, check out our episode Fly Like an Eagle from a couple of months back. Great little chat there with Robbie Eagles. I had that was a lot of fun. And we'll have more details on this event, Blue Mountains Pro Wrestling's Iron Fest, in the coming weeks. So stay tuned for that. Now, Todd Eastman has twisted my arm, folks, and we will be talking some WWE, TNA and whatnot, as we used to do. We're going a bit old school, in a couple of days' time, so keep an eye out on the feed for that one. I know Java Junkie and a few folks out there have been sort of wanting to hear Todd and myself do our thing as we used to, so it'd be great to have the Beast back on board. And as you heard at the top of the show, before the show even started, the Big Ballers podcast promo, go check that out if you love some NBA conversation and really just hearing a bunch of dudes just giving each other a heap of trouble, just having a go at each other and getting stuck into one another, as mates tend to do. Good times. So there's also a new Butts in Seats podcast with my buddies Frank Harris and Chunky Larry from the USA. We reviewed Spring Stampede 1998. It was a very politically incorrect show, as always, over there. And yeah, heap of laughs. So suss that out if you enjoy listening to reviews of pay-per-views. And one more quick plug out of the way here for Social Audio Think Tank, the podcast about podcasting that I'm co-hosting with Joshua Liston. On our last episode, talked about sports podcasts and why they tend to be ignored by podcasting consultants and the like, and sort of within the hardcore podcasting community. So we got in our soapbox there a little bit, and but it was a lot of fun. So if you're a podcaster or thinking of starting your own show, Social Audio Think Tank. And also, suss this out.
I'll buy my song and I won't...
Shoot the Defence is the opinionated, entertaining football show with serious debates you're looking for. We have a variety of guests from ex-footballers to journalists, members of parliament to athletes. Every month, former Chelsea, Swansea and Brighton striker Leon Knight weighs in with his opinions on night vision. So tune in on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, ShootTheDefence.com and the FNX Network, and let Stel, John, Mike and Stuffy give you a free football lesson. Follow us on Twitter at Shoot the Defence.
All right, first up here on Wrestle Radio Australia is a fellow who is the face of Iron J. He's a personal trainer. He's the man behind Super Wrestling Heroes. Also a former AWF and Pacific Pro champion, if you don't mind, Iron J Benny Coles. Thank you very much for joining me on the show.
Thanks for having me, mate.
Now, first of all, we've got to talk about, I guess, Iron J, because that's where a lot of people, even non-wrestling fans, will know you from the television commercials. How did that come about as being part of their campaigns, and did that come before pro wrestling, or was it vice versa?
No, pro wrestling was first. One of the AWF boys, Max Comic, Dave Carnival, Concrete Davidson.
Yep.
He was the guy who lined that up for all of us. So a whole heap of us went over and auditioned, and it was just pretty much the right look and at the right place, really. So a lot of luck there.
And still going strong with Iron J?
Yeah. They just renewed another 2 years, so mainly just like a website presence and things like that. So yeah, that's all good.
That's very cool, very cool. And one of the main reasons I wanted to have you on was to talk about your project in New South Wales, Super Wrestling Heroes. For those of you that don't know about it, folks, it's a great sort of thing for kids, whether they're wrestling fans or just want a really cool birthday party or something like that. And it's really cool because I guess if the parents of the young wrestling fan in the household are afraid to take their kid to a show because, oh, you know, the language can get out of hand with some of the fans and whatnot, things like that, you know, it's a safe environment, it's a family environment, and they can still sort of get up close and personal with you guys. It's pretty cool.
That's exactly right. A great alternative is a good way, and it's a good introduction for a lot of young kids into the wrestling side of things as well. Yeah, you can definitely see, you know, obviously it's more welcoming, and then when kids start seeing that, then they want to go, oh, I want to see the wrestling. So hopefully it can help you know, obviously, starting wrestling and things like that later on, if we can, you know, obviously keep growing and get bigger and get a good presence from a, you know, comedy show kind of side of thing.
What inspired you to actually start that? Was it that thing of let's try and bring some more kids into the pro wrestling sort of thing, get them interested, or was it just that thing of I want to really do something positive for kids?
Well, I started doing coaching with kids.
Cool.
Which it was just something I fell into, because I do personal training as a side kind of job, and one of the mums, because I'd been coaching, she said, that's brilliant, and she knew I was the INJ character, said, would you be able to bring something like this to a party? And she wasn't a fan of the violence, she wanted to keep it real kind of PG, so we kind of came up with a way of going about it, and that's really how it grew. And then, once we put some pictures up and things like that, it just kind of snowballed, and then a lot of inquiries and a lot of things. And it's never meant to, like, I was just going to run it through BennyColes.com, like my own website and things like that, but it just became its own entity kind of thing. So we just kept rolling with it. And then, you know, obviously it started with three characters and then we've grown up to seven at the moment. And then, yeah, just creating different characters and all that fun, yeah, elements to it.
And some of the characters from AWF, like Mighty Mel, for instance, Massive Q, those guys are involved in Super Wrestling Heroes as well?
Yeah, exactly. So all the AWF boys, they were the ones that, you know, obviously I was an AWF boy starting into the wrestling scene. So that's where it all came from. And then, yeah, so I met all those guys and then it was just pretty much picking the most dominant, impressive characters that could work well with kids. And, yeah, so that's with your Traffic and your Matthew Q and, yeah, your villains and your heroes, and myself and Mighty Mel, and then you've got the Lucha characters as well.
And there's also an app, which is like a little game, I guess, for kids. Did you want to talk about that?
Yeah, Super Wrestling Heroes Digital Attack. Again, another wrestler. I've been trying to help as many boys out as I can, just giving them projects and trying to help, you know, people do things that they like and enjoy. So that's Green Dragon Mick Moretti. He was the guy who developed that. And, yeah, it was just, you know, a fun little project that, you know, he really helped us out putting that together. Obviously, kids, you know, can't, you know, not see a kid with an iPad or iPhone and all that running around nowadays. Yeah. So I'm just trying to stay relevant and something cool that the kids could take home after a party or things like that, or after a show even, you know.
Cool, that's really cool. And that's one thing that's, I guess, it's handy for fans to have those extra little things, like whether it's an app like that, that they can sort of still be involved with the characters and you know, sort of play along even after they've been to a show. And, you know, hopefully folks say after a show they'll check out our podcast as well, things like that. So, like, it's really cool that, you know, you see all these different things in the world of pro wrestling and different side projects and whatnot, but we're keeping up down here, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing, you know, because like you said, to stay relevant in the digital age, it's bloody important.
Yeah, I mean, it's always cool when you go to like places and people are asking, "Where's Traffic? Where's Matthew? Where's, you know?" And they're naming the characters.
That's awesome.
Whereas, you know, and not just the colours or things like that. So that way, you can kind of just feel that little bit. And I mean, you know, obviously, we don't have the television, we don't have that mainstream presence. But doing things like that and just trying to grow, I think, is always, you know, obviously something that you want to do and try and be relevant to the kids so they know who you are.
Now, one of the brass, one of the head honchos at FNX.network, who help us out greatly with the show and streaming it and whatnot, Ryan, he actually hit me up yesterday when I mentioned that I was going to be chatting with you and said, "Oh, I remember Benny. I actually did some training with him at AWF," and he mentioned something about you being the King of Dapto. What's the go there?
Oh, the King of Dapto. I'm the Dapto boy. I just say Wollongong now. It just doesn't have that same presence, does it?
King of Wollongong. It's a few syllables. Yeah.
Yeah. Illawarra, I think, something's better too.
I don't know if you can even fit that on a T-shirt, so maybe King of Dapto is, yeah, stick with that. And AWF, actually, Michael Roach, one of our great supporters. Hey, Michael, hope you're well, buddy. He's hit us up and wants to know your thoughts on your 3+ years as AWF champion a while back. How was the run and what are some memorable matches from that time?
Yeah, that was unreal. I mean, to be given the championship for as long as I did, that was, you know, obviously you've got to be every show and pretty much full-out main event every night. Even when you're flat and feeling tired and you just want to go, oh, maybe, you know, it wouldn't mind being in the first match or something like that. But, yeah, it was a tremendous, you know, responsibility. And, yeah, really, really was grateful for that. The feud that I loved the most was with Powerhouse Theo. That was brilliant. You know, where we just kept, you know, brawl. And it started off, you know, just that fun storyline and, you know, tag teams and Dead Nation Crew and all that stuff. And then just kind of, blew up and ran with it, and he was brilliant to work with. He'd done a lot of training in the state and over with the Dudley Boys and that, and yeah, so good fun.
Now, with, I guess, your sort of your look, your size, and also the fact that, you know, you do a lot for kids and you're well into the fitness side of life, have you thought about pursuing overseas wrestling, whether it's like WWE, sending them videotapes, sending them a bio, information and that sort of thing? Because I look at you and you seem to be like one of those sort of guys that they would look for, you know what I mean? Have you ever thought about that?
Well, we had auditions last August for WWE. They did a big tryout run out here. A few of the girls actually got picked up from that, and they were there at the moment with NXT. And that, you know, Bill DeMott was running that and put the guys through all the drills and all that stuff that you see in Tough Enough, which was, you know, and then you did the promo class, promo days like that, and did 5-minute matches.
So you did do the tryout camp in Melbourne.
Yeah. So like I said, they've got tapes on most of the guys here in Australia. So they are looking, and now is probably the best time if you're an indies wrestler to be spotted. I think there's actually a website. If you're searching online, I couldn't tell you off the top of my head, but on NXT there's actual application forms and things like that. So punch in all your details. And then they'll, you know, next time they're out here, they'll probably do it every year, I'm assuming. They'll probably pick a handful of guys and run them through the paces.
Yeah, because we've had Jessie McKay and Casey Cassidy, or Cassie McIntosh, her shoot name. They've both been picked up, and like, it's amazing. I think, you know, watching, gosh, I remember, you know, I think it was like the second Riot City Wrestling show I went to about, 7 years ago, Jessie McKay was on that show, and then seeing KC, and now where they've ended up. I mean, honestly, I think it'd be a good time to hit up Lance Storm's Academy in Canada as well, because, and I know he's got a few, if there's any wrestlers listening to this, which I know there's a few spots open for 2016 later in the year for his camp. So if you want to actually go over there, folks, get onto it quickly, because it's filling up. But he's got the track record with the ladies. Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, I was trained over there as well.
He's
bloody the best trainer you could probably get. Everyone recommends him. Everyone says, go get over there. And once I finished AWF and I put on a few shows, I still just felt like I needed some more training, just that little bit extra. And I asked a few people who were over there, and they could get over here straight away. So off I flew, pretty much left Christmas Day. And over there for 3 months straight. And that's all you did, just wrestled.
Yeah, he tends to, from listening to a lot of his interviews on F4W and whatnot, it seems like he tends to break people's, I guess, bad habits, but at the same time, he knows those little things that WWE are looking for, you know what I mean? So if you actually go do actually fortunate enough to do a tryout camp, you know, you're going to be held in well stead, because you might have those little insider advantages, you know, those inside tips. And when did you go over there? Was that 2008?
Yeah, it was about 2008, 2009. I'm pretty sure it was 2008.
Did you wrestle for the PWA promotion over there in Calgary?
He was booking it after, okay. He started booking it after I got there. So that was probably a year too late, I think. But yeah, he started doing his books at the PWA and that.
Okay, cool, gotcha. What are some I guess other memorable matches that you've had over your time in wrestling? I mean, you've wrestled for Blue Mountains Pro Wrestling. You're on their first ever show, and Pacific Pro as well. Actually, I was having a look at a match you had earlier with Tyson Gibbs in IWA in New South Wales a couple of years back, and that was a fun little match. That was good.
Oh, he's unreal. He's brilliant to wrestle with. Sanjay Dutt was probably another good one. That was in my hometown in Wollongong, so that was really good. Kazani, he was, you know, all those guys got to tag with Eugene. So some of those those guys, you can always pick up bits and pieces from them and just listen how they put matches together. And a lot of good structure, and I always enjoy that.
Did you do any sort of training seminars under Nick Dinsmore, Eugene? Because I hear he's a hell of a trainer.
No, I haven't done any training, but like I said, watching him put a tag match together was always good fun.
Very cool. Now, let me see here. We just see if we got any. No, you've been slack, guys. I know it was late notice, but come on. Michael's the only one that's thrown us some questions here. So, come on, guys. Get onto it. Are you looking to... What was the last match that you actually had in Australia?
Would have been an AWF one. Couldn't tell you. Yeah, we're building to a feud with TNT. Okay. Oh, no, it might have been with IWA. I honestly couldn't tell you. I think it might have been Tyson Gibbs, because I remember he was looking after me because we had the WWE tryout the next few weeks. So I was pretty much gung-ho going for that. But then I got my teeth in the actual tryout. I got my teeth pretty much smashed in pretty bad. And, so I'm still getting work done on them at the moment. So wrestling's just taking a bit of a backseat at the present, just because I've got to, you know, you've got to heal yourself, unfortunately.
Gotcha. Well, look, just want to quickly get into also back to the Super Wrestling Heroes thing. It's based in New South Wales, you are, and obviously Super Wrestling Heroes. Do you guys sort of cover the entire state, or is there a focus sort of area that you guys...
Because we have the presence in New South Wales, obviously, like I said, Illawarra, so there's a lot of Illawarra, and then up from Illawarra, you've got Campbelltown, which we're starting to delve into now, and a bit of Sydney as well. So they're the three areas, obviously, because, you know, we're just trying to push it gradually, and, you don't want to invest too much into advertising side of things and just be broke by the end of it, you know? You just want to do things smart and try and get that presence and build up to it. And, like, we have done parties in Melbourne, so we are, like, a good presence. These people look up wrestling parties, things like that. So, and, you know, Queensland, Melbourne, we're getting a few inquiries. Yeah, so, like, even, you know, some of the boys are like, yeah, we'll just, you know, jump in the car and just make the trek. And, good fun.
Awesome. I'm going to throw some quick fire sort of questions at you, which always turns into the long fire, but I know you're very busy today, so it will actually be quick, folks, believe it or not. Favorite, I guess, a couple of your favorite wrestlers, you know, whether it's WWE, ECW, WCW, some of the guys that you look at and you go like, yeah, wrestling wouldn't be the same without them.
Shawn Michaels and Flair, they're the two that I'll just watch endlessly. Brilliant to watch, and you always pick up something just watching their matches, even, you know, all the old school ones, and there's a stack of them to go through. They're the ones that I always watch and admire.
Cool thing about Flair is that, like, I think I mentioned it before, but, like, he could have the same match over and over, but it was still always entertaining, and because he was so used to working so many different types of opponents, you know, he'd change it up here or there based on where they needed to go, but just an absolute... I think whenever I sit down and watch wrestling with my dad, Ric Flair is the one that tickles his funny bone and hits all the senses, you know what I mean? He's laughing and he's whirling along with him, and it's just, like, crazy fun watching Flair.
And the fact that you know that he's calling it in the ring, whereas nowadays when you're watching it, it's all television, it's real fast and bang, 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 and it's hard to, you know, it's just move. That one, it's more art, and more, that's the stuff that I love, watching them, you know, pretty much break down a match and break down body parts and all that stuff, especially for live crowds, that's really handy to know, whereas if you're just watching the moves, you'll get the pops, but, you know, sometimes the crowd won't pop for those high moves, and then you've really got to try and get them, you know, hooked in.
Do you find, obviously, it's a lot easier to work in front of a larger sort of crowd. Do you see those smaller crowds, you know, when you do sort of head out there through the curtain, you're like, ah, oh, geez, you know, we've got maybe 100 people or less, or you know, a smaller sort of crowd. Do you find it that real challenge to, okay, let's get these people making the noise of 300-400?
If you can get them to make the noise of that, that's brilliant. Getting them more engaged, obviously, smaller crowds, you can pretty much start putting people individually, and I mean, and that's just how it is sometimes, unfortunately, with the independent scene. But then I think now is probably even better. You see the crowds just starting to pick up to about the 300 mark, which, you know, if they're promoting it well, I think there's a good good rise in Indies wrestling at the moment.
All right, favourite wrestling entrance theme from throughout the years?
Oh, bloody hell.
On the spot, I know.
Finn Balor. Entrance is unreal. That music's brilliant.
It's really cool, isn't it? And I love Hideo Itami's as well. It reminds me of... It feels almost like a Black Sabbath type riff, you know, that intro. It's just brutal. It's cool.
Yeah, and people forget that's a big part of it too. I mean, I saw someone was polling for Madonna's... what was it? It came out to... I forget what that damn song is. But it was unreal, and the crowd was just popping.
Grado. Like a Prayer.
Yeah, he was... just came out to that. The whole place was singing and just going nuts. And TNA ended up signing him because of that music. Well, yeah. They picked him up and brought him into the show because of that music, but because of copyright, they couldn't air it.
Yes.
And that was solely on his entrance music. I mean, that's how good an entrance is. Obviously, you need your own rights, but getting your own songs is definitely a big part of the show. You know, if you can just, you know, make that atmosphere, and even in Balor when he was, you know, Prince Devitt, and you see all those entrances, you can just look at, I've got, holy crap, he came out as Joker, and it was just watching those clips, and yeah, it's a thing of its own.
Let's see, favorite WrestleMania.
17, I think it was, the one with Rock and Austin.
A very popular Mania, that one, yep.
That was, at the moment, when I watched it, it was unreal. I thought that was hands down the best Mania I'd ever seen, just the emotion, everything involved. Watching back at it, if I look back at it, it's a lot of violence, a lot of crazy stuff. Like that TLC match, when you remember it in your head, awesome. Watching it back, you go, holy crap. And, for the safety of people, it wasn't... but there were some good Manias. I mean, one with Michaels and Angle, that was unreal. Brilliant. All those last ones with Taker and Michaels and, CM Punk and Taker. Yeah, some good matches.
19 holds up for me still, but I think it's the botched shooting star press at the end that sort of pulled that may take a star away from that, or half a star away from that show for most people. But that was a hell of a Mania as well. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, even the last one. I mean, that was response from it was brilliant. Yeah. Just listening to everyone saying this is that big spike in ratings and reviews and everything. Really cool. To be a wrestling fan,
Earliest memory of wrestling?
I think it was just Austin and Taker and just some cool Attitude Era stuff, which just grabbed me. And then that was early on that I vaguely remember. But the one that got me was Jericho and Rock, when Jericho made his debut. And I'm just like, holy crap, that was that was one that really stands out for me, just from the promo side of things.
Yeah, it blew my mind when, watching him on WCW, being a massive fan of Jericho. And then I think we were still getting the truncated version of Raw on Channel 10 that was dubbed WWF Superstars. And seeing that Rock Jericho moment and seeing him coming out, I'm like, oh my God, he jumped ship. What the hell? It was just, it blew my mind. And him wearing that shiny jacket, the shiny shirt, that also got extra points. I love that.
Yeah, I mean, we were like, four weeks behind the States and all that stuff and how it was run. And I mean, now it's awesome with the network. Unreal the amount of stuff you can just be watching and just looking up, even with YouTube. But back then, it was just kind of like, what the hell? You're trying to keep up with it. And then you got to go to the video store and rent some friggin', old school, and you had to wait like 4 weeks before the pay-per-view would come out. It was just,
Really is pretty cool these days, where wrestling's at, not just here in Oz and the way it's thriving, but around the world at the moment. There's something for everybody, and I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and again, that's the power of all that social media now, where everything's so close. I mean, it's so far away, but you can pretty much get noticed if you want to be noticed. If you want their attention, you can get it. It's pretty much they're giving that access to people now, whereas before it was kind of it's forbidden. You couldn't get in touch with them, you couldn't there was nowhere to go. And now they've got that developmental system and they're begging for people to come through and show them what they've got. And obviously if you've got the body, if you've got the height, if you've got the size, the talent, and those characters and personalities, you ticket in. So definitely that's the thing for people to be working on.
And I've got to ask you your dream match, either to book, so a couple of legends you want to see go at it, and also why not your own dream match, the match that you really want to have yourself.
Oh damn, that is a tough one. I don't even know who the hell I'd pick. Here we go. Flair and Michaels. And back in their prime, give them a run. They're the ones I like.
Again, why not? Let's see another Michaels Flair.
For myself, I honestly I'll say Lance Storm just to safety.
don't want to offend nobody. Awesome. And the last one, I always ask everyone this one, your favourite after match or after show meal. Is it, do you stick with the Iron J's, or do you think, oh no, I'll go outside of the fish?
No, I get the Iron J, just go to Macca's and get them to microwave it for a good, 3 minutes 50, and they're good to go. Wherever the boys are going is always, that's the place to be, obviously. That's a big part of, after you do the ring set up, the wrestle and the ring pack down, you go out to eat.
Good times. Well, dude, thank you very much for having a chat with me. It's been great, and I want you to get all your plugs out of the way before we let you go. Super Wrestling Heroes, the app, your personal fitness business as well, if people want to be trained by you, all of it, mate. I and J, get it all out there.
BennyColls.com is the PT side of things, so if anyone wants, you know, fitness, even wrestling side of things, if they just want some tips, advice, feel free to ask. Always there to help. You've got my Twitter, which is just BennyColls. Everything's on the BennyColls website. And then there's superwrestlingheroes.com.au, and you'll find all the party stuff, what we're up to. Social media, if you find Super Wrestling Heroes, give them a like if you can, and yeah, and see what we're up to. So, and the game's Super Wrestling Heroes Digital Attack, and that's free to download, so yeah, check it out if you get the chance.
Awesome stuff. Well, Iron J, Benny Coles, thank you very much for joining me, and after this, folks, I'll be back with Mason Childs from Queensland, from AWA Live. We were both pretty much half awake or half asleep, however you want to put it, when we recorded this, so excuse us if we're lacking a bit of energy, but it was a great chat, so enjoy after this.
Promos, what can we do for a bit this week?
We could talk about...
What about I'll beatbox, and you, because you've got it all written down now, you can
I don't have it written down. That was the other day. Times
well,
have changed.
Get it up in front of you. You got it up in front of you yet?
No.
Well, fucking... for Christ's sake, mate, you're looking foolish.
Chill out, mate. I need a new TXT file.
You need a new one? What do you need a new one for?
Because that's on a different computer, fuck's sake.
Do you want me to tell you what you need to write down?
Yes, please.
Zeitgeist is available on at dancarlszeitgeist.com.
Dancarlszeitgeist.com. Yeah.
Stitcher.
Stitcher.
Do you want the words in between this, or do you just want a list of the websites?
List of the websites. I'll fill in the gaps, mate. I'm
iTunes.
The King. iTunes.
FNX Network.
FNX.network.
Yep. Buy at redbubble.com/people/dnkzeitgeist. Every second Monday, pregeist.
/people. Wait up, fucking slow down. /dnkzeitgeist.
Mm-hmm. Every second Monday at 9:30 a.m.
Yep.
Pregeist. On YouTube.
Pregeist. YouTube. That's it, isn't it?
And you can send us questions and fan or hate mail at dancarlszeitgeist@gmail.com. So go. Go.
Welcome back. And with me at the moment on Wrestle Radio Australia is a fellow who's been quite the staple in the Queensland wrestling scene for some years, in particular AWA Live and Grindhouse Wrestling, and here today to tell us a little bit about his time in wrestling and also, I guess, the state of Queensland wrestling in general, Mason Childs, Australian Wolverine. Thanks for having a chat with us, dude.
No, thanks for having me on.
Straight off the bat, let folks know a bit about yourself, sort of who trained you and when you actually started getting into wrestling on shows and whatnot.
Okay, I started training with what's now called IPW Australia back in 2002. It took me about 9 months till I was on a show in 2003. It was very early 2003. Then after that, I left and started up PWA Queensland, and from there I've basically moved on from there and started with AWA, and I've been there ever since.
So with AWA Live, tell the folks a bit about the promotion, how that sort of came about and how long it's been running for.
AWA was founded in 2012 by a guy who's now moved back to America. His name was Esteban Molina. Jesse Moon, he's the promoter now, And I basically work for him and help him get shows up and running. And Grindhouse Wrestling are the main shows that we really run.
So Grindhouse is more of the 18 plus sort of crowd that comes along to those shows. And that's been quite the theme in recent years in Australian wrestling, is having those 18 plus shows to get the non-wrestling crowd in and having a look at what everyone does. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. And it also gives you a bit more freedom in what you can do. You don't have to be all PG, which a lot of the guys have a bit of trouble with now when they wrestle outside of Grindhouse, with the swearing aspect and that sort of thing. But our shows, we also have burlesque, which has helped us get a sort of crossover crowd. Like, a lot of burlesque fans will come and watch the halftime show and then stay on for the wrestling, and we've actually picked up quite a few fans through it.
And AWA Live, I've noticed, has got a lot of very, I guess, out there sort of characters and whatnot. It's not your, I guess, not your typical sort of wrestling show, and with the Grindhouse shows as well. Lately, there's been a bit of, I guess, cross-promotion between Pacific Pro, AWA Live, and just trying to, I guess, generate a bit more interest in the Queensland scene. I think a lot of states have, a lot of promotions in different states have realised that working together is actually a benefit rather than a hindrance. And that whole us versus them thing, to the fans, if they think us versus them, that's great. But amongst the workers, it helps if everybody's sort of on the same page and growing the thing together.
Yeah, definitely. Chris, who's a promoter of PPW, he referees for us. And a lot of our guys work for him, so it just was a natural thing, really. We love PPW. I love wrestling there. It's a great atmosphere and great people to work for.
Now, with Queensland wrestling, I mean, one of the main reasons, I guess, we haven't talked about the Queensland scene much on this show is just because there has been, I guess, that not a stigma by any means. We don't want to sort of go along with what everyone else is doing, but it tends to be it's not as thriving, or over the past few years, it doesn't seem to be as up there with, say, your Victorias and South Australias and, you know, all these promotions, sort of getting the talent on other shows in other states. That's one thing I've noticed, is that, you know, you get a lot of South Australian Vic workers going into state, working on MCW and then going over to Perth and rah-rah, even coming up to AWA, folks like Hartley Jackson, Jonah Rock. But there hasn't been as much of that, the guys from Queensland going into state. Yeah, AJ Istry is obviously, he's been one to do that a lot. Do you think there's a reason why we don't know as much about the Queensland talent or see them on shows interstate? Is it a thing where they're trying to grow the Queensland scene first, or is it just a matter of getting the bookings?
I think it's more so a lot of the guys have so much wrestling up here at the moment that they don't really have to travel. For a Queensland wrestler up here at the moment, you can be wrestling more than once every weekend at the moment, so for them to sort of travel, yeah, it doesn't really make too much sense for them. I know AJ's very focused on going back to Japan, so I think that might be why his interstate bookings are down, but I'm not too sure. And I think a lot of us sort of just do our own thing up here. Because of that stigma that was generated, I think it sort of put up a wall for a lot of guys, like that sort of want to have to travel and defend what we do, because a certain few people want to upload shit and make us look like idiots when our wrestling is probably on par with any other in this country.
Yeah, I mean, you've got, we've mentioned AWA, Pacific Pro, there's also, I think it's Queensland or Sunshine Coast Wrestling or something close to that?
Oh, Queensland Championship Wrestling on the Sunshine Coast,
That's the one.
They're a good bunch. I've worked for them a couple of times and had some fun matches, and their crowds are starting to grow. They're starting to get a lot of momentum behind them.
As far as the crowds, what's the consensus that you pick up from the fans and the people that come to the shows? Is it a lot of repeat business, a lot of regular fans coming along, or do you find because of, for instance, the Grindhouse shows that it's more of a sort of a casual following? They'll come and check out a show once every so often.
Grindhouse is really starting to get quite a strong following. You're seeing a lot of the same people at the shows. There's also a group of fans that get around that you see them at every show. They're the loudest people in the show, and they go to everything, and they start all the chants and that sort of thing. I even think they're part of some angle that one of the companies is doing up here. They call themselves Seven, and they just go to everything. They watch everything. I do find there's a lot of regulars that go to everything, but you do see the casual fans come and go. But the amount of regular followers is starting to grow, which is a very good thing for everyone.
Totally. So with the regular sort of shows happening, like obviously Grindhouse AWA going almost every weekend, it's crazy the amount of shows that you guys are churning out. Do you think that we're at a point now in Queensland with wrestling where it's like people are going to start taking notice, where people from interstate are going to be saying, shit, we should be booking that guy from up there in AWA or this guy from here? Do you think that it is starting to get to that point now where it's going to become on par with the other states?
I really hope so. A good way for interstate people to check out what we're doing, we're actually announcing tonight that we're going to be doing a free live stream of our next show. We've come to a deal with a group of people up here that do the local QRL game, and we're going to be filming and shooting the show as it happens online.
That's very cool. So that's going to be beamed live as it is actually happening?
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome. When's the date for that one?
May 2nd.
May 2nd, okay. Very cool. May 2nd's a bumper weekend. The weekend of May 2nd is a hell of a whole lot of shows happening around Australia, so it's we'll have to redouble it, Wrestling Weekend.
Yeah, definitely.
And so with yourself, you've been sort of going at it for quite some time now. For folks who aren't familiar with you, what would you say your style is in the ring?
Oh, I don't really know if I have a set style, to be honest with you. Probably my biggest influence over the last couple of years has been an Aussie wrestler over in Japan called Dingo, and he does pretty much what was known as the Osaka style. So it's a bit of a lucha sort of comedy style, but I'd say that'd probably be the style if I had to pick a style.
Is Japan something that you're looking at?
Yeah, definitely. I went there in December, and I'm hoping to go back before year's end.
Seems to be quite they've got the appetite for Aussies at the moment. Like the TMDK's, Rony Fujiwara's over there. He's been killing it the last few years. Jonah Rock, part of TMDK, obviously. Demi Bennett, she's been booked over there. You got Vixen going back over. Mostly it's the Aussies that want to go over there and get the experience and that world sort of knowledge, not just in wrestling, but, you know, I guess being, wise to the world, you know, different cultures and things like that. It makes it easier, I guess, when you get a booking. What are some of the things in Japan that you look to pick up next time you go back?
I'm not too sure. I just want to sharpen my skills more, because the more you're wrestling and the higher quality of the opponents you're wrestling, it makes your game step up. And that's definitely what I want to do. I just want to keep progressing and keep getting better. So I feel Japan's a place that will help me get to that level.
Now, you wrestle with a mask, and there's not a lot of folks that we've had on the show, really. Australian Suicide, for one, and a few of the Smash guys, but wrestling under a mask, I know that, you know, some folks, when they come back, you know, backstage after their match and they have got a mask on, they're just, like, they're gasping for air, and it's like, oh, God, get this thing off my head. Do you find it a struggle to wrestle with the mask, or is it just, you know, sort of an everyday thing? It's like breathing for you now.
Oh, no, it's an everyday thing for me now. I've been doing it for a couple of years. I never really had that sort of claustrophobic sort of feels or mask anyway. I can wear full-face masks and not have that happen. But I know a few guys that definitely they've had problems adjusting to it. But when you tell them that's the character that we want to book, and if they don't want to do that character, then they're not booked. They seem to find a way to work through it, so...
And actually, I just wanted to go back to, because I forgot to mention earlier about, ask you about Pacific Pro. I noticed that they've sort of been doing less shows that are branded Pacific Pro specifically, and then you know, working in more with AWA and that sort of thing. And I guess that's part of the thing where, you know, if it's a struggle for a promoter to get a show together or to regularly do it, it's pretty cool that they can sort of step in and co-promote the shows with you guys. I mean that's obviously going to be a benefit. And Chris Dalgleish, I've got to give Chris a shout out because he's a top bloke, and really sort of got I think he's got a good head for wrestling. It might just be me, but I reckon he's switched on.
Yeah, definitely. I think the reason Chris is running less shows is simply because he has so much on. He's quite a big person, like within what AWA does. I'd say Jesse'd be number one, then I'd be number two, then Chris would be in there at number three. So he's doing a lot of work with us. And then the Proud promotion, they rent his ring, so he's setting that up every 1 or 2 months.
Yep.
So he's definitely keeping busy. So, yeah, I think he's just sort of trying to find the time and the schedule for it and also try and find the venue that's right for him because he's running out in the western areas of Brisbane, which no one else is running. And he's had a few hit and miss shows, but generally the shows have been really good recently.
Well, that's one thing I noticed from they did an iPay-per-view. It was about, just over a year ago, I reckon. I think we had Robbie Eagles on the show to talk about that. And that's one thing where, like, yeah, it was a small crowd, but the in-ring action was fantastic. It was great.
Yeah, I wasn't actually on that show, and I haven't actually seen it, to be honest with you. Soundwave was that day, and I'd already had tickets for it, so I missed that one.
Yeah, I don't know, it looks like Soundwave has actually been canned in Adelaide, so I don't know it was either canned or they're going back to a one-day festival. What's your thought on that, the whole two-day versus one-day Soundwave festival? Because it's been a hot topic lately.
Yeah, I'm getting too old for two-day festivals. I can hardly do one anymore. Yeah, I think it's just like a lot of things. It's getting over saturation, and eventually people will get sick of it, and the numbers will go down, and they'll go back to what worked, hopefully.
That's one thing I worry about. We're going way off track, but just quickly, that's one thing I worry about with UFC at the moment is that, you know, they've absolutely... Yeah, almost every week now there's a UFC show, and it's harder to keep track now than it was back in the day. If you asked me 4 or 5 years ago who the champion was in each weight division, I would be able to tell you and probably tell you who their last three opponents were, each of them. But now it's so saturated. And that's one, I guess, with Aussie wrestling. I mean, it's the saturation in a way is a good thing because it keeps it in the people's consciousness. But at the same time, you know, can fans get out there every weekend and see every show and afford to go see every show? So where do you find that sort of balance with, because you're running shows regularly, AWA and all the other sort of cross promotions, but at the same time, you don't want to burn people out. What's your take on that as a promoter?
That's why we've gone with a very different style with Grindhouse. That's why it's 18 plus. That's why we have the, over-the-top characters, and that's why we have burlesque, because no one else is doing that. It's like, you can go see a wrestling show any weekend in this state, but you can't see that style show every weekend. You can only see it once a month, and I think that's starting to catch on. And also, the venue we're in is pretty much in the middle of the city as well, so... Like, a lot of the shows that are running, they are running every week, but they are quite far apart. Like, Proud runs out at Cleveland, which is about 45 minutes away from our venue. UPW runs out at Beanley, which is another 45 minutes in a different direction. PPW is about 30 minutes west. IPW Australia are on the Gold Coast. GCW are on the Sunshine Coast, and all the way up north now is QWA, who are doing some pretty good things as well.
So at least they're spaced out. I mean, that's one thing in New South Wales, you know, they've got quite a few promotions, but they're spaced out. They're at least a half hour to an hour drive away. So it's not as brutal, say, as in Victoria, where you've got four or five promotions and they're all within maybe half an hour drive of each other or something like that, you know? So at least it does give people that are further out a chance to see some wrestling, you know? Like,
yeah, definitely. And if people build up in their area and get a local product that people are familiar with, then hopefully that'll keep the locals coming back as well.
And I forgot to mention, I feel really bad about this. Greg Prowse, I know you're going to be listening to this. G'day, dude. I should have mentioned Prowl, of course, earlier. One of the other, I guess, you know, sort of the other promotions that have been, I guess, like you said, you know, Chris has been, you know, sort of using their ring and they're cool with that and whatnot. Do you think the working together will sort of last, as in the promotions working together and that? What, or do you think it's just a matter of building up the scene and then, okay, then we can splinter off?
I really don't know. It's really sort of up to the individual running their promotions, how they want to do it. I know no one really will take offense if someone goes and does their own thing. When it comes to Prowl, I haven't had anything to do with them for a couple of years. I haven't even gone and seen a live show, so I really don't know what they're doing or where they're up to, but, I do wish them the best of luck with what they're doing. They're running an old building that we used to run many, many years ago, and it did get some good crowds there, so I hope they get their numbers up.
Now, here were some names from the Queensland scene as far as the wrestlers and even managers and whatnot that people should be sort of looking out for, the guys that really have not only have potential, but the guys that are there right now.
Oh, like up-and-comers?
Yeah, yeah.
The interstate people should keep an eye on. Rufio is probably, like, the biggest one at the moment. He's doing some stuff with TWA in Sydney. He's getting his name out there. He's doing really well. He's amazing talent. Koi Bombora, if he can get out and start travelling, people will definitely get behind him. Great character, great in-ring work, good guy as well. Combat Wombat, he's probably like one of the best comedy wrestlers you'll see up here. Very basic, like wouldn't expect a 5-star classic from him, but he's definitely one of the guys that would be entertaining on any show. Tim Cade, he's another good one. Great high flyer. There's so many I could name that interstate people should keep an eye on, but yeah, just so many guys are really starting to develop and really starting to come through as proper wrestlers now up here. It's really awesome to watch.
And on the ladies side of things, Toni Storm, like she's been, I think she's probably gotten her name out there more than any other Aussie wrestler, female wrestler in the last 12 odd months, because she's been working all about the place. Now she's in Japan, she's in the UK with Josh Shooter, and they were tearing it up, and just seeing that, even still, just seeing the photos and everything that she's been doing about the place, it's pretty cool that somebody like her, who's very talented, who's got, you know, can do the serious wrestling thing and then display that entire other side of her character and get people laughing. It's pretty cool that someone like that can go out there, represent, and say, hey, I'm from, you know, from down there. Like,
oh, she's been killing it. She's been doing absolutely amazing. And she's heading off to WXW in the next month or so. So she gets to debut in Germany. And I was chatting to her recently, and she's been to Italy and she's been to Ireland and a whole bunch of places around Europe there. So yeah, she's absolutely killing it. She's smashing it.
Yeah, it was Josh Shooter I was thinking of that was heading over to Japan. So, yeah, Josh Shooter, hell of a guy, great talent, loves his Subway.
Yeah, he wrestled for 01 last night, I believe.
Crazy.
Yeah, wrestled 2 pandas, I think.
As you do.
Yeah, as you do in Japan.
And he was on Lady Beard's TV show, so there you go. That's quite something.
Yeah, that's something too.
It's either a TV show or a YouTube show. I'll find the link. I'll put it on our page. Bugger it. You can all have a look and see what's see what Shooter's up to. So let's get some plugs out of the way for the upcoming shows for AWA and also I guess anything else there that you want to plug, whether it's social media, the live stream on May 2nd. Get it all out there.
Yeah, definitely. The next Grown House show is May 2nd at our New Globe Theatre in Fortitude Valley. To follow all the news on AWA, their page is AWA_live. That's on all the social medias. Yeah, no other real plugs. We'll have the update on the link for the live stream on the AWA Live page. And also, yeah, big shout out to everyone in Queensland, really. QCW, PPW, QWA up in Townsville. And a big shout out to my good friend Tinus and Nan. Nan's the sickest.
I've actually got some feedback here from the Wrestling Radio Australia Facebook page. If I can just bring it up now. Just one second. This is fantastic radio. Here we go. From Maddie Thompson, asking if Nan still watches.
Nan's always watching. Nan's the sickest.
Number one fan?
Oh, everyone's number one fan, but number one critic as well. She's a bit harsh, the old bird.
Is it one of those things where you started sort of like watching wrestling with your nan when you were younger? And she's
no,
sort of...
no. There is no actual nan.
Ah, you got me.
Gotcha.
Got me there. Well, on that note, I want to say thanks heaps, Mason, for doing this. Really appreciate it. And all the best with everything up there in Queensland, AWA, Grindhouse, the whole nine yards. And hopefully we'll get you back soon and we'll have a proper chat, get into your time in wrestling more and a bit deeper. That'd be cool.
Yeah, definitely. I look forward to it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
An ancient evil that feeds on the sick and demented, which once haunted videos that were rented, are back to turn the blood to ice of all of those who own a personal digital device. Therefore celebrate and rejoice Peppers and Lamont as they tell tales of films you should and should not. Find it, go to iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and TuneIn Radio. No excuses to these sites. You must go. And to find out whence the evil comes from, go online and look at totallyinsanetapeshow.com.
This is Jake Johnston with the world's almost finest podcast, reminding you that if you love listening to discussions around movies, TV, video games, comic books, and all kinds of other awesome stuff, then head on over to fnx.network and click on the world's almost finest. Give us a shout out, let us know what you think, listen to our episodes, we got plenty on there to go through. The world's almost finest podcast, a proud member of the FNX Network.
Alrighty, that does it for this episode of WRA. So if you enjoyed what you heard here today and want to learn more about the Australian pro wrestling scene, subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, or TuneIn Radio. You'll get the latest episode the second it hits the interwebs. Also, our YouTube channel has a heap of great interviews from our old podcast feed, which we had to change over a few months ago, but yeah, heap of great content on our YouTube there. We've got Wrestling Observer live host Brian Alvarez, who you can actually hear every day now on Sports Byline on TuneIn Radio, the number one pro wrestling radio show in the world. So it was awesome to have Brian on a few months ago. Scrap Iron Adam Pearce, two great chats with him. Todd Eastman sat in on those as well. Triple A's Australian Suicide, Rocky Monero, the Basso Brothers, Nick Armstrong, Kelly Ann, Fan, your NXT Tag Team Champion, Buddy Murphy, or co-holder of the tag team titles, I should say, and loads more. So suss out the YouTube channel as well as this podcast feed. Hit us up on Facebook, just search Wrestling Radio Australia, give us a like, and join the group as well. I'll let you know in there before we have guests on the show, so you can throw some questions at them. I know it was a bit late notice for Benny, so cheers, Michael, again, for your input. But yeah, hopefully next time we'll give you a bit more time to get some questions in there, and yeah, ask our guests whatever you want. Whatever you want. So even the trolls get a go. So yeah, facebook.com/Australian Indie Wrestling as well. That is your go-to source for everything pro wrestling in Australia on the indies, whether it's the calendar, you want to check out where and when the shows are happening, photo shoots, videos, podcasts, articles, it's all there. Australian Indie Wrestling on Facebook. Big shout out to Thunderstag for our awesome rockin' theme music. Dane Davies for our main logo. FNX.network, that's FNX.network. And my guests for today, Iron J Betty Coles and Australian Wolverine Mason Childs. But most of all, as always, I want to thank you for listening. Until next time, I'm Josh Armour, and this has been Australia's Wrestling Podcast, Wrestle Radio Australia.
Saints and sinners, lovers and losers, cuts and run wild with the hounds of hell. Brothers and sisters, show no mercy, kiss your sons and your daughters goodbye. Been there, done that, heard it all before, chewed up and spit out, we won't take no more. If you wanna live, you're gonna have to fight. Every day's a Friday, every night's a Saturday. Take what's mine, mine, ah.